That's right. Thank you, Sue. Moving on to agenda paper 4, preparation of financial statements when an entity is no longer a going concern. The committee received a request about the accounting applied by an entity that is no longer a going concern. Paragraphs 5 to 10 outline the fact pattern described in the request and explain the questions asked. Paragraphs 11 to 16 include our analysis. Regarding question 1, based on our analysis, we conclude that the requirements in IFRS standards, particularly those in paragraph 25 of IAS 1 and paragraph 14 of IAS 10, provide an adequate basis for an entity to determine whether it can prepare its financial statements for prior periods on a going concern basis. Regarding question 2, IFRS standards are silent regarding the restatement of comparative information in financial statements prepared on an ongoing concern basis. However, our research shows that entities do not restate comparative information to reflect the ongoing concern basis of accounting. I will now direct you to question 1 on page 5 and ask whether you agree with our analysis regarding the application of the requirements in IFRS standards.
Okay, who wants to talk about this? And can I say very specific aspect of going concern? If I could just try and set the traffic lights up for the start. Jens?
Thank you, Sue. So I'm happy to go first. I'd like to distinguish between question 1 and 2. I think I fully agree with the feedback on question 1 and want to highlight that even if a preparer would have prepared financial statements for 17 and 18 on a going concern basis, this would have direct consequences under ISA 705 and would result in an adverse statement that we as auditor would come up with, because not only IAS 1 is clear in this regard, but also the requirements for an audit are clear that that information on going concern should be considered for financial statement not yet issued. So I fully agree with the feedback and analysis of question 1. However, on question 2, I was a little bit confused with regard to the feedback that the staff provided and the analysis, because as recently mentioned, we want to say that this is not a widespread issue based on an outreach, and therefore was a little bit confused with para 16 in our staff paper, which states that IFRS standards are silent. So I would be very supportive of the paper when we would have stopped in para 15, and I don't think that para 16 adds to the analysis of the staff. And taking into account what is said in para 16, I do not agree with the conclusion that IFRS standards are silent regarding the restatement of comparative information, because I would look not only to IAS 1 and paras 38 to 38B, I would directly look to IAS 8. And in IAS 8, I would distinguish between a retrospective restatement, which is required for an error, and I cannot see an error in this fact pattern, or a retrospective application for a change in accounting policy, whereas para 16A of IAS 8 clearly points out that we would not require, or the retrospective application is not required, where circumstances change from one period to another, and therefore I disagree with the conclusion in para 16 that IFRS standards are silent. I think there is enough in IAS 8 clarifying that changing from going concern to not going concern from one period to another should be applied prospectively, and that a retrospective application is not allowed in taking into account current guidance in ISA. However, we do not need to address this when we stop stating or finding out that this is not a widespread issue. But if we go into deeper into the analysis, I would say looking into IAS 8, there is clear guidance to address this issue. Just my feedback on 1 and 2. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And I think we're keen really not to get into 2, given the fact that it's not widespread, but thank you. Donna?
I actually just, I'm in agreement with Jens' analysis, and I agree with the paper that has been produced by the staff. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Short and sweet. Brian.
Thanks, Sue. Similar to Jens, complete agreement on question one, a concern about question two arising from the statement in paragraph 16 of the staff paper. I feel that I could answer this question by reference to the standards. I might look at IS 8, might also look at IFRS 5 and discontinued operations, where I would in fact be required to restate the P&L statement of cash flows, for example. If the agenda decision is going to be driven purely by the survey results, then I would quite like it to say that entities do not restate comparative information when they first prepare financial statements on a non-going concern basis, except when restatement is required by IFRS standards for another reason, because that does at least link the idea that you only restate, you know, floats the idea that you only restate when there's a specific requirement to under the standards.
Okay. My understanding, Petrina, can I just be clear, is really that the idea is that the agenda decision as drafted is really addressing question one. Is that fair?
I think the agenda decision as drafted is well, it's saying, I suppose it's explaining, saying no to standard setting overall. The reason in question one is we point to and we give a technical analysis to say that the requirements already provide an adequate basis. And in question two, where we strictly use the criteria in the due process handbook to say this is not a widespread question because we've been provided with no evidence that suggests there is actually any doubt in the requirements.
But the drafting suggests no technical analysis on question two for the actual agenda.
Yeah, that's right.
Guy?
On reflection, I came to the conclusion that I'm fine with the agenda decision. My initial reaction was there was lots more context that needed to be added to help someone read through this and navigate the rationale, the consequences, etc. You know, some of that context, you know, might include that non-going concern basis can be IFRS compliant. IFRS don't specify what a non-going concern basis entails. It's not even clear what IFRS says about comparative information in an ongoing concern basis set of financial statements. You know, so there's just lots of lack of specificity within IFRSs on how to develop presentation and recognition and measurement matters in an ongoing going concern basis. And I was starting to think about adding some of that context, but As I reflected, I thought the agenda decision was very carefully crafted to, you know, avoid getting into having to debate and respond to, you know, questions that I don't think we can answer in many cases, recognizing that an ongoing concern basis is just not you know, fully defined in IFRSs, of course. So, you know, as I reflected on this, despite my initial reactions, I came to the conclusion that the agenda decision was really well done. It was like a less is more type approach, and was careful to not sort of wade into a minefield of areas where we could get into serious debate about what we might be saying and going beyond what we could in fact say about an ongoing concern basis. So at the end of all of those reflections, I came to the conclusion that the agenda decision was quite well done, and the less is more approach was the perfect way to go.
Thanks, Guy. I think that was the staff's hope. Bertrand?
Very similar to Guy. I'm happy with the draft tentative agenda decision as drafted, and with the outcome provided on the two questions by the staff and the way they are proposing to address the two questions in the draft tentative agenda decision. So I'm happy with that.
Thank you. Sophie?
So I would like to speak. So do you hear me? Yes? Oh, I'm sorry.
We do.
You don't hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Sophie.
Okay. So I agree with the staff analysis for question one. And for question two, I understand the reading of the staff. I could accept it because the conclusion is correct, but I also agree that we could have another reading or understanding of the standards. And as already said, I believe that it's not a change in accounting policy. It's not, and so we should not. We IS8 requirement for retrospective application is not has to be followed. So we are in a given circumstance, in an event of the current year, and as such, as other events like, for instance, a decline in financial markets, it should not impact the presentation of the comparative period. I think that the standard is standards are quite clear about that. So I agree that under IFRS 5, there is a specific requirement to not to restate the held for sale classification of the balance sheet, but maybe it is this requirement is there because there is also the requirement to restate for discontinued operations. So I'm not very comfortable with the final conclusion of the staff, but I could accept it, even if I would have preferred we have not to restate because there is no explicit requirement to restate in the standards.
Thanks, Sophie. Yang Su?
Thank you. I think I am the only person who disagrees with the staff analysis and conclusion. I agree with that for two reasons. The first one is that question one seems to me a very rare and not popular situation. And for that, I think question one is not qualified according to the work plan criteria of the due process handbook. And we, I should say that we rejected many questions, many submissions just because of that. But I think we are answering question one seems to be kind of a little bit awkward to me that, we are answering to some not popular situation. That is the first comment I want to make. And the other comment I want to make is very similar to Guy, but my conclusion is a little bit different. As Guy said, IFRS presents lots of guidelines and the principles and the rules about the going concern entities. But IFRS, I do not think, provide any specific guidelines for the non-going concern entities. And in this agenda decision, we are applying the IFRS, which is based on the going concern basis, to the non-going concern entity. So that is what I'm not quite comfortable. The only paragraph I was able to find out in the IFRS is also written in the staff paper, but that is paragraph 25 of IAS 1. But all I can see in that paragraph was that when entity does not prepare financial statements on a going concern basis, it shall disclose the fact. So only what it says is that entity has to disclose the fact that the financial statements are not prepared on a going concern basis. And I think IFRS does not say what kind of rules the company have to use when they decide to they stop the going concern. I mean, liquidate their entity. So, I don't agree that IFRS can be applied on this submission or the questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I've got a number of people who I know agree with the staff's analysis and recommendations. So in the interest of time, unless you confirm that you actually want to raise a new point, I wasn't going to bring you in. Bob, did you want to say anything additional on question two? I think the plan will be not to say only what's in the tentative agenda decision at most, but is there anything additional you wanted to raise, Bob?
Yeah, well, I was going to raise it. That's not my preference. My preference would be, and I understand the dilemma on question two, and we don't have really a full submission with views and everything on it, but I think the literature is, the standard is clear. I'd rather answer question two for the avoidance of doubt. I don't object to what is presented here.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Goro, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yes, basically, I agree with the staff's analysis and recommendations, but I just want to clarify regarding question one, that it is clear that the company is not allowed to prepare the financial statement in for the December 2017 and 2018, but does this mean that the company need to prepare their financial statements on the NGC basis for the years, or we are just not saying anything about that? That's my question.
I think, Goro, the question asked was, in the situation and for the particular company for all 3 years, for 2017, 2018 and 2019, whether they could, prepare any of those financial statements on a going concern basis. And I suppose that's all we're answering. We're saying, based on the words in IS 1 and IS 10, in the situation they're in, where they've already decided to liquidate the company, then they cannot prepare those financial statements on a going concern basis.
Okay, thank you, Petrina. I'm smiling because it looked like your dog was trying to join the committee meeting there for a moment. I just saw the tail of
okay. I felt him move, by the way. He was sitting right next to my back and I felt something move. So yeah, he wanted to participate, I think.
Okay, so with that, can I move to the questions? Can I get a show of hands on question two, whether the committee agrees with the staff's recommendation not to add a standard setting project to the work plan? And on the phone, Sophie's saying yes and Brian's saying yes as well.
Yes, I think that's everyone except Young So, just to make sure we've got it clear.
Okay, thank you. Then moving on to the tentative agenda decision, based on what you've heard, Petrina, was there any wording changes that you were planning to propose before I get a vote on that?
No, I think the one change, sorry, there's a couple of very minor things I'll say. Somebody, if we look at the top of page 7, somebody had pointed out that our simple punctuation with an and between A and B on the questions could be confusing because they are two separate questions. We'd propose to remove that and, just to make it clear they're two separate questions. And I think the only thing, nothing in question one, we did have a look again closely at the wording in question two, and the only thing we might suggest taking out is the use of the generally, because when we're commenting on what our research has actually found, there isn't a need for the generally. It's simply entities do not restate comparative information. So we'd remove the generally.
Okay. Brian, did you have a wording suggestion you wanted to raise?
Yes, it's in, thank you very much. It's the suggestion I made earlier, and it's in the same bit of the agenda decision. So I think it would be good to take out the word generally. As I suggested earlier, I would like to extend the end of that sentence to say something like, except when restatement of comparative information is required by IFRS standards for other reasons. my feeling is that that statement would be accurate. It would capture the possibility, for example, of having a discontinued operation under IFRS 5, and it would float the notion, perhaps contrary to the statement in paragraph 16, that there is in fact guidance in IFRSs about when you restate and when you do not restate comparative information.
Okay, Mary, do you want to comment on that? And then I'll call a vote. Mary?
Brian, I have a great deal of hesitation about acting on your suggestion. And the reason is because there is virtually nothing beyond a requirement to disclose the fact that you are not on a going concern basis that's in IFRS standards. What you do when you are in that position. And while personally, I think I'd agree with that statement, I think it's very hard to think about all the ins and outs of scope, recognition, measurement, disclosure, and presentation issues in which you're applying. And I guess I question how much basis the committee has for more than a report of facts about diversity in practice or not.
Okay. I think maybe based on that, thank you, Mary, and thank you, Brian. I'm going to ask for a show of hands on who would support the agenda decision with just the drafting changes that Katrina had outlined. Could I get a show of hands on that and see how we go? Sophie also supports it.
I think, again, on screen I see everyone except Yong So.
And we have Sophie on the phone.
Okay.
That's good. Great. Thank you. Well done. All right, so that brings us to the end of the papers on the specific topics. And Katrina, I think that means we move on to agenda paper 1.